Dave Moore on Today FM.
Listen, it's a big honor to talk to you. You're one of my kind of, I guess, go-to directors. I know I'm going to have a good time when I see one of your movies, whether it's Swingers back in the day. I remember renting it on VHS. Myself and my friends sat and watched that. What a movie. Iron Man, Chef. And now, of course, the incredible new Star Wars tale. But my joint favorite movie of all time, John, is Elf.
Really? Oh, that's great to hear. Thank you. So that one, it might be the closest to my heart, honestly, because of how it repeats and how each generation gets to experience it, how it makes people feel at that time of year.
Well, I watch it in July, but I'm weird.
Good. Thank you.
Well, listen, Star Wars, it hasn't had a big movie release in a long time. I think it's like 7 years or something like that. So already, John, you're directing a Star Wars movie. Is there then added pressure to the fact that it's the first Star Wars movie in a long time, or no?
I don't really feel pressure in that way. I feel responsibility, though. I do.
Sure.
Because it's Star Wars. I did not create this world. I'm comforted in some ways that we've been telling stories with these characters. I've been working in Star Wars for 8 years with people that I have tremendous respect for, many of which who work side by side with George Lucas. I've gotten to talk to George Lucas about these characters and these things. So I don't feel like I'm alone. I feel like I have tremendous support. And I don't know that there's such a line of differentiation between the audience and the people making it. We're fans who get to do this, and that's a sense of responsibility. I think the biggest sense of responsibility is as we want to extend this tradition to the next generation. I know that from all the people I work with, Star Wars hit me right off the bat, 1977. I was 10 years old. And I find what's interesting is each generation seems to connect when they're around that age to whatever Star Wars was.
Yep.
And so, it's easy to be dismissive of the Star Wars that's not of your generation, but then you realize that, no, it's when you it's like music. It's what you discover at the age when you're open to new experiences like that and when things can make an impression on you. And so we hope that these characters can extend, and I really efforted to make this movie something that wasn't just something for us fans. There's a lot in there for all of us. It speaks to a much larger storyline. But to make it accessible as a film that maybe a fan brings somebody who's curious, or somebody, a kid maybe played with this doll or toy when they were younger, and now they're old enough to go to the theater and see Star Wars. I want this to be a great first impression so that they get, the bug bites them, and then they go and explore that 50 years of tradition that's now available thanks to streaming. They could look at all these films. I know A New Hope is coming out again next year.
Exactly,
I think it's a really good time for Star Wars.
I think so, too. And Grogu is so pivotal. I mean, obviously, he comes into his own in this movie in particular. I just absolutely love his screen time and everything he's doing. How do you go about creating him? Is it animatronics? Is it puppetry? It's animatronics, right?
It's mostly animatronics. It's puppetry, too. We've built a lot of sophisticated rigs. It started off as just a little stand-in puppet with very limited movement that we thought was just save us money when we didn't want to pay for a full CG shot.
Sure.
And then Werner Herzog saw this puppet that Legacy created that overachieved for what we had asked for. And he had all the eye movements and this anthropomorphic, empathetic quality. And when we would shoot clean plates, what you call clean plates, in case we wanted to replace him with CG, he called us cowards. He said, this is the most beautiful thing I've seen. This is cinematic. You should commit to this puppet. And we couldn't argue with him. And he was right. And so we said, well, it's Star Wars. It could be a little, Yoda wasn't the most, or Jabba, they weren't the most believable puppets, but they were very creative. And Star Wars gives you that permission to mix super high-tech CG with an animatronic puppet. Now, he's evolved. Sometimes he's rod puppeted. We are able to paint out the puppeteers.
Okay.
But often there's like two or three people around him as he's walking and operating. Yeah. We also have using on the promotional tour, a fully remote control version of him. So he's actually able to sit there like on a talk show and move his arms and react. But that's a testament.
So
but it's the human performance of a puppeteer. Those are SAG performers as well. Those are union actors that are breathing life into this puppet.
Amazing. And you also incredibly cast Martin Scorsese as a four-armed food truck guy.
Yes.
I mean, how did that conversation with him go?
I did not have that conversation. Kathy Kennedy did. She called him up. She's old friends with him. It was a wish list. She told me he agreed immediately to do it. It was a very short session. He was full of life and ideas and humor. He improvised. I got to perform with him, which was a treat. And then we took that and created a radio performance, as you would with an animated film, and found the best of the things that he did and created this performance. And then the animators watched the reference. They developed this character. And so there he is. Some of the best CGI in the movie, I might add. It was a very, they were very inspired by that collaboration.
Yeah. Well, listen, I must wish you a huge congratulations. The Mandalorian and Grogu is so good. And I do think you're right. I think what's going to do is it's going to bring a whole new audience to Star Wars, which is incredible. So thank you for that. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for Elf. I love it so much.
Well, I look forward to coming and seeing your part of the world. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Thanks,
bye.
John.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.